Now, without any further delay, let's talk to the girl that some have called the girl with the brightest eyes in Brooklyn. Some have called her the smartest gal in New York City, and some just call her that girl from Litchfield who left town. Her name is Sarah Schelt. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I tried to come up with a good way to introduce you, and I got help on that one, so just so you know. One of the reasons why we wanted to get together is obviously because of what we're going through right now. Your background is a teacher, a life coach, and a person who has helped an awful lot of people through challenges, and now you have a new project which I think you're quite excited about.
Yeah, that's right. So I have been working as an educator for almost 20 years now, and I have been working with parents as a coach, really bringing the strategies that I've been using in my classroom into their homes to really help them foster more communication, connection, and trust with their children. And so what I have been doing lately is I have interviewed over 20 of the top parenting experts, doctors, authors, educators, in an Empowered Parenting Summit that is happening now. You can register for free on my website. It's www.sarahschelt.com. And it's just an amazing plethora of conversations that I've had with these experts on really fresh, real-life, real-world parenting strategies.
Well, that sounds really good, and it sounds like something that so many parents who are struggling, who have never had to take on the role of teacher in the home, this is something that can really have value for them.
Exactly, because we know that parenting is one of the biggest, most overwhelming jobs there is, and then we throw something like COVID on top of that, and a lot of parents are really struggling with overwhelm, with stress, with all of the things that are on their plate. And so I wanted to offer a platform of support. You aren't alone, and there are things that you can do to have some peace in your home around behavior, around not having power struggles and fighting with your children, especially during a time when stress seems to be at its all-time height.
Well, you named that right, and I mean, that I think is what we're all dealing with on a daily basis. Some of the people that you've got involved with this, some of the experts, I know that, let's say, for example, someone says, I really enjoy helping my kids, but I don't feel like I know enough to really have any value. And I got to believe there are parents who are saying, I don't understand this new math, or saying things like, they didn't teach me that in history class back in high school. I mean, how are some of these coping with that?
Yeah, so what I would say is first give yourself some grace that you are not a teacher, and that is okay. But that doesn't mean that you cannot create an environment in your home in which your kids are learning. So if you think about all of the things that you love to do, incorporate those things into activities with your children. And then you can, if your child loves a certain topic, like dinosaurs, for example, teach them how to research dinosaurs. What questions do they have about dinosaurs? What can you create around that topic that they love? Because one of the things that I would say to parents is that curriculum and learning aren't always the same thing. That yes, teachers are trained to teach curriculum, but that doesn't mean that as a parent, you cannot create an engaging, enrichment type of activity and environment for your kids to learn and really explore what they're passionate about.
Is one of the challenges that maybe somebody talks to you about or you're dealing with in one of the segments of your class, we always have two things we have to deal with. One, boy, I just, I'm working from home myself. I don't have time to monitor, to make sure that my child is, you know, keeping up, doing what he needs to do. Or the other challenge is I'm not working from home. I'm out of the home for 8 hours. I've got to come home and fix dinner, or I've got to come home and work on the house and mow the yard. I don't have time to monitor what's going on. There's got to be some sort of way that can help people in both of those situations make sure that the work gets done without making their kids hate them, you know, at the end of the quarter or whatever.
Right, and so I think that that's where some accountability and boundaries come in, of setting up some agreements before the situation that you're in comes up. So one of the things that I always like to suggest is some sort of family meeting of, this is what I have to do as a grown-up. This is what I need you to do as a child. This is your to-do list. This is my to-do list. And one of the important things, too, that I recommend to the clients and parents that I work with is having a conversation about these things before you get into the craziness of the day. So everyone is really clear on what it is that they're supposed to do. And then, if your child didn't do what it is that they were supposed to do, then there are the consequences of that. And if it's with a school situation, you know, I can only speak from my own perspective as a teacher. The children and the students are accountable to me when they don't get their schoolwork done. And so that is a partnership and a relationship that a parent can perhaps bridge with the teacher and say, you know, my child isn't getting their work done, but they have to then tell you why they weren't able to do that. Because as a parent, you don't have to be in charge of what's going on necessarily at school. And I know that that might be like, whoa, for some people, but you can only be in control of what you can be in control of. And I think having those agreements beforehand are really helpful in setting those boundaries of what is expected.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a kind of off the wall question. I don't think it's hard, but maybe it's a question you haven't been asked. Okay. When a child is in the classroom at school, especially young, middle school and younger, they have recess. They get breaks.
Yes.
How do you set up a routine that includes some fun when you're trying to make sure this schoolwork is being done?
So the way that I do that is I build in breaks for my class, and I also teach my parents who I'm working with to build in breaks, because we know from brain science that we function better when we have movement. We function at a higher capacity when we are able to have free play and move before we then have to do structured work. A couple of my speakers, one that's coming to mind from the Empowered Parenting Summit that's happening now, Jeff Harry, talks about how as grown-ups, we need to get back into finding play for ourselves. Because when we are not fulfilled, then we are not bringing our fullness or our full selves to our kids, to our jobs, or anything else that we have to do. So instead of looking at play or these breaks as a takeaway from the work, we need to actually reframe that to look at it as, this is necessary in order to perform at a higher level. And that is something that science has shown us over and over again, that not just kids, but grown-ups function much better when they're given an opportunity to have some movement, have some play, to have fun with what it is that they're actually doing.
Now, in your online program that is free and people can sign up for to make this so much easier on themselves and on the children, I'm assuming that there are people who will say, this is how you structure the day, and people who will say, this is how you incorporate this fun, and this is how you make sure that the brain function is at its highest level, and this is how you limit television, things like that. I'm sorry, I had to throw that one in because I'm sure that's a challenge. That's got to be a challenge. So again,
One of the things that I think too that we need to almost move away from too is parents are doing the best that they can, and I think that we need to get rid of the parent shaming and the judgment and the guilt that goes around, you know, something like watching television. So your child watched another hour of television. What's the worst part about that? Was that able to give you some freedom so you could be a better parent? And so I think sometimes we have these, what one of my speakers, her name is Dr. Allison Escalante, she calls it the should storm. What we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, what we should have done instead. And it creates this environment in which we never feel like we're doing enough or we're good enough. And so if your child is watching another hour of television, but it gave you a break, then give yourself some grace that it's okay and that you really are doing the best that you can.
That's fascinating. Again, how does one sign up for this program?
Yes, so you can go to my website. It's www.sarah, S-A-R-A-H, Schelt, S-C-H-E-L-D-T.com. And it's the Empowered Parenting Summit, and it is free, and we would love to have you join us.
Well, I can't imagine any parent who would not welcome a little help during this time, and it sounds like this is the perfect way to get it and a most convenient way to get it as well. Can I take you a different direction here for a minute? I want to ask you about someone else. The arts and music, I'm assuming, are as important as the hardcore education, the history, the reading, writing, arithmetic. How do you handle that? Not everybody plays the piano or has a keyboard in the house, or what do you suggest there?
Yes, so one of my speakers who connected us is Robbie Robinson, another Litchfield alumni, as you would maybe call him. So he's one of my speakers talking about music and the arts. And yes, you may not have a piano, you may not have musical instruments in your home, but you don't need those things to make music. Putting on music and moving and dancing, singing, creating instruments with things that you have around the house. Not only the creation allows kids especially to think at a higher level of problem solving, of what materials do we have? What materials can I use? Do these things make different sounds? That is all music. We've had music since the beginning of time. And the other thing that I would say around the arts, we know, again, going back to brain science, emotional development and creativity happen in the same area of the brain. And so we want our children to have emotional development in a way that's appropriate. We want them to develop their emotions, but yet we want to take away art and music and all of the creative things. And those things really go together. We also see that when we have a child who's learning how to write, free writing skills are things like drawing, holding a pencil, holding crayons, holding markers, cutting with scissors. All of those things are pre-writing skills that actually strengthen a person's writing. So again, if we're taking those things away, it actually has a bigger impact than I think people might realize. And so having the arts, pursuing a passion, even if you don't do it like Robbie at a professional level, still having that incorporated into your life, I think is really important. We also see that children who are reading music and hear the rhythm or the patterns are also able to take that into their reading skills of noticing patterns. We know that math is full of patterns. So when we see things in a separate way, I think we do a disservice, and we need to see how do these things connect in order to impact each other in a positive way.
Oh, that's terrific. I want to take a short break, and then I want to come back for one more segment with you, if we can, Sarah, if I can keep you a little bit longer. And then we want to talk again about how people can be involved. But give me about 90 seconds, and we'll be right back, okay?
Sounds good.
We're visiting with Sarah Schelt. Sarah from New York City these days, originally from Litchfield, talking about a new program that she has put together that is absolutely free and is designed to help parents teach their kids at home while they're home during this pandemic. Sarah, the radio station is 70 years old this month. It went on the air November 2nd, 1950. Now, a lot of things have changed in how radio stations operate in those 70 years, and the programming itself, in addition to how it's programmed, has changed in those 70 years. Let's say you've got an older parent, maybe, now I'm really old, so but let me say it like this. Let's say you've got a mother and father in their 40s who, when they went to school, maybe they were in middle school back in even, say, 1980 or 85, I guess it would have been. The difference is school's changed. There's a whole new math. We mentioned that. There's a lot of other things that have changed, and changing in the way things are taught. There's been some revising of history, and even just social mores have changed. So that challenge has to be dealt with as well.
Yes. Yeah, so but one of the things that haven't changed is kids. What hasn't changed is kids and being champions for kids, and I think that, you know, when we talk about new math, it's interesting because I find that the math is actually, the way I like to describe it is, if we talk about counting money, we're actually trying to teach kids to build in a better mental math system as opposed to relying on other things. And so I know that math has gotten a little bit of a bad rap these days. You know, but I even think about, like, with subtraction, the way that we count back money is that we count the change first, and then we get to the nearest dollar, and then we count on from there. That is actually how I am teaching second grade math right now. It just looks very long and complicated until you understand, like, oh, this is what we're moving towards. So I just wanted to do a little shout out for, for math.
Okay, that makes sense.
Don't hate on math too much.
Oh, yes, I don't hate on it. I just don't understand the new way.
The new, but yes.
I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change at my age. But I guess what we're saying is the parents should not have the challenge of trying to fight it either. They need to at least embrace it or help the kids embrace it.
Right. Well, and I think that the bigger picture outside of math is that it's all about perspective and point of view, that you can actually have different ways to get to the same answer. And I think, like, that's also important to note, that just because I think about something one way doesn't mean that you are thinking about it in the same way. And I think that it's important to allow kids to really discover, like, if we're talking about math, if we're framing it in math, how do you see these numbers? How do you see them connecting? How do you see the pattern? As opposed to you stack the numbers, you cross this out, and you get an answer. It really is trying to get them to have some critical thinking skills. And I think that is where we also need to approach, you know, what is happening in our society. I know that we just had and are still in the middle of an election and an election year. And it's like, how do we talk to our kids about what's happening? Because the truth is, kids see and they hear and they know something is happening. And so to not say something at all is actually saying a lot. And so one of the things that we can do is to teach our kids to have critical thinking skills, to teach them to ask questions like, you know, who says that that's true? How do I go seek the answer for myself as opposed to just being told that this is true? And I think that is also in the bigger picture of how do we teach our kids to think for themselves, to go seek out answers for themselves, and to ask the question, is that really true?
Now, I want to make sure that I don't mislead anyone. And I want to give you the credit you deserve, because we've been talking almost exclusively about teaching kids while they're home. But understand, this course is called Empower Your Parenting. It is so much more than making sure they're getting their homework assignment done. That's where I think this really can help so many people, because you've got experts, let me just say, authors, coaches, and educators. They probably don't like to be called experts. That puts too much pressure on them. But it's all about, it's more than education. It's education and wellness and societal things, all these things that go beyond, let's make sure you get your homework done.
Yes, it's really about how do I create a family legacy that I can be proud of? Because we're not just raising our kids as 5-year-olds or 6-year-olds. We're raising human beings, and we are developing them in a way that is in relationship to who we are and what we believe and what we value. And so we do. We have experts on what is your child's behavior really saying? If your child is having a tantrum, how do you handle that in a way that doesn't create a bigger power struggle or you yelling or, you know, the child then crying? One of our experts actually talks about how to co-parent through divorce and separation, another really big topic that affects, as we know, many families. And so the experts really bring real life strategies around all of the things that families and parents are dealing with, not just during COVID with kids home from school more, but really just family dynamics and how to build a family that really does have connection and trust at the heart of it.
Sarah, this has been very enjoyable and very enlightening and very worthwhile. All three, I think, of those adjectives fit very well here. I appreciate you joining us, but I do want one more thing. I want you to make sure, but before you tell us again how we can sign up for this, I want to make sure if there's any message that you want to get out, whether it's more about the class or it's just to call out somebody in Litchfield, I want you to have your opportunity, so go.
Oh, my goodness. I love, you know, Litchfield is my hometown, and it will always be my hometown. I did K through 8 at Zion, and I appreciate them so, so much. I have a funny WSMI story that my great-granny, Lucille Wernsing, played the Scrabble word of the day, and if she didn't win, which she did often, she always claimed that someone was using the computer, and that's how she got beat.
So. You know, those words, that spellbound thing can get a little tough sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, 9 letters is one thing. 14, 16 letters, that's something else. That gets a little tough. So,
yes,
again.
But she played every day.
Well, bless her. Anybody who wants to take this class can do it. There is no charge. And I know that this can lead to other opportunities to interact with you through coaching or through some sort of speaking engagement. So there is the class is worthwhile, but it also gives you an opportunity to broaden your base, correct?
Yes, exactly. And I am actually taking clients right now. I work one-on-one with parents, and we work together to really create a system and strategies that are specific for their home and their children. And you can email me personally at info@sarahschultz.com. Or again, you can go to the website, sarahschultz.com, and sign up for the summit. You can also get a year access pass We have an all-access pass, so if there's something that you've missed, if there is something that is resonating with you and you want to watch it again, I know that parents are busy, so there is an option as well to get a full year of all of the conversations. They really are wonderful. I'm really excited to present these parenting experts because I do think that parents right now need support. And I just want to say you don't have to do it alone. Please reach out to me. I would be happy to have a conversation with you on how I can support you and your family, because I do think that community means so, so much. And coming from Litchfield, I know how much community means, and getting back to that community and really having families that feel connected is really important to me.
That's wonderful. Empower Your Parenting with Sarah Schelt. SarahSchelt.com, SarahSchelt.com. It's as simple as that. Don't pass this opportunity by if you're being challenged while you're working at home with your kids. Sarah, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much.
And for any of those, you can tell your friends, anybody who's missed it, this conversation will be up on the WSMIRadio.com website within a couple of days, so you can get all this information again and get in touch with Sarah, or just listen to it again if you need a little encouragement. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye now.